This is a podcast from The Sample Cast, Volume 1, Episode 12.
The Sample Cast.
Hello and welcome to The Sample Cast. This is Episode 12 and I'm Reuben Cornell. Thank you so much to everybody who's responded to me on Facebook this week. I put a call out for some new tracks from composers to talk about and demo on the show, and I had loads and loads of those come in. The quality was really high as well, so thank you everybody. I've chosen one of them for this week's show. You can hear more about that later. If you haven't already checked out the YouTube show, please do so. You can find it at youtube.com/thesamplecast. I've also started to edit the sample cast shows into smaller sections, so you'll find a lot of those in different playlists on YouTube as well. Check those out. If you're listening on iTunes, please feel free to review and rate us. That really helps us jump up those iTunes charts. And you can connect to us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you can email as well to thesamplecast@gmail.com. So let's get on with the show.
Roundup.
First up in this week's roundup, it's Spitfire Steel Drums. These run in the full version of Kontakt. It's a 14 gigabyte library, so pretty big for a steel pan library. And within this library, you've got two pans which have different beaters. There's mixable microphone positions, multiple dynamics, the Ostinatum engine, which is something that you'll find in a lot of Spitfire products. And they've recorded their real roles and single hits, and the dynamics can be controlled with the mod wheel. There's lots of information about this online. You can check out the Spitfire website. One thing I was really interested in were the patches that use the Spitfire eDNA morphing engine. So this takes the original samples and manipulates the steel pan hits into larger hits and smashes, atmospheres, and twisted variations on the original samples. Definitely something that's worth having a look at if you're into sound design, underscoring, that sort of thing. Check it out at the Spitfire website. There's a new preset patch from The Unfinished. This is for Omnisphere 2 and it's called Omnisphere Ferox. You've got 300 patches here and they've been inspired by various soundtracks including The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and the dark sounds of composers Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. Here you've got pulses, drones, soundscapes, kind of retro analog samples, old kind of 8-bit kind of inspired things. There's textured acoustic tones as well, and there's also plenty of lo-fi rhythms and gritty basses in there. These will be suitable for modern TV scoring, horror and thriller soundtracks, and Matt Bowdler has done an extensive walkthrough of most of the patches online on the Unfinished website, so have a look at that. There's definitely a couple of sample library producers who have capitalised on the upcoming Brazil Rio 2016 Olympics, and one of those is Cine Samples. They're presenting Rio Grooves. Now this is a whole bunch of Brazilian percussion loops, runs in the Contact Player, and it's actually been recorded in Rio with Brazilian musicians. So here you've got 17 different percussion instruments which are spread across the various patches. They're not playable as individual instruments, but they are as pre-recorded loops, and there's loads and loads of different loops in there. You've got three different mic positions, and there's inbuilt grooves which actually sync to your host DAW tempo. You can also export the MIDI of the percussion patterns to your DAW by just simply dragging it in. It looks like quite a flexible library, and if you're in a hurry to create those kind of Latin Rio 2016 grooves, then this is probably something you should look at. want to give a shout out to a developer called Sample Science. They're not a company that we've featured before on the show, but they have a very interesting plugin. It's called Nostromos. It's basically cinematic sounds, but instead of running in the contact engine, the player or the full version, which most of the instruments, to be honest, that I feature in the show do, it's actually a separate plugin, which makes quite a nice change. It runs in Windows and Mac and in VST and AU formats. It's $30, but they're so confident about the results you're going to get with Nostromos that it comes with a 1 month refund, absolutely no questions asked. So within that plugin, you've got 80 cinematic instruments with controls for dust, noise, room reverb, and saturation as well. As I say, there's that money back guarantee. You might as well have a look at it, see if you like it, and if not, always return it.
Find us online at www.thesamplecast.com.
Particular Sound have a follow-up to their Rise Up collection. This is Rise Up Volume 2, and it's over a gig of hard-hitting cinematic sounds, including whooshes, transitions, and impacts. So you've got 256 files in total, and they're all one-shots in the WAV format. No special processing, no contact player, just drag and drop into your door. They're definitely worth having a look at because the first pack was quite impressive. The last thing I want to talk about on the roundup is a new section of the Function Loops website. Function Loops produce some interesting packs in a lot of different genres. They're very up to date usually, and there's a lot of kind of cutting edge sounds in there, but they've developed a new section of their website called Function Loops Academy. So here you can find tips and tricks on music production, and it's nice because they don't just use the function loop samples themselves, but they have lots of techniques there that are translatable into your own samples that you use yourself. The first video is about how to create the perfect kick drum, a nice snappy, punchy, professional sound, and there's already a second video uploaded which is all about chord creation. They're quite extensive, these videos, and more will be coming soon. I believe the first set of videos is actually a collection of 10. So see the Function Loops website for that. It's www.functionloops.com/academy, and certainly I learned something, and you probably can too.
Composer demo.
This week we've got a great composer demo from Florian Jacob. He's created a small chamber piece, and here he is to tell us all about it.
Hi everyone, I am Florian. First of all, thanks for having me. I'm a film composer since a few months, and I am learning to create scores and typical musical works. I'm full of classical composers, like Shostakovich, Beethoven or Bach. I have no musical education, so I am self-taught. I am running that I'm just telling and explaining my point of view about some of the disadvantages of making orchestral music. A lot of person could disagree with me. For this track, Petite Promenade, I used the Spitfire libraries, Sabre and Flute, that I bought because they are really flexible for creations. In fact, Sabre String Library is a small strings ensemble. There are just 16 players. 4 for the first violin section, 4 for the second violin section, 4 for the cello section, and 3 for the contrabass section. The sound is more refined than big orchestral strings ensemble, and so the flexibility is more interesting in my opinion, because this kind of small ensembles let a lot of musical spaces for the other instruments, and paradoxically is much more independent in a certain musical way. In fact, usually when big strings ensembles are used, we often need to put brasses or woodwinds or other instrumental accompaniments. Otherwise, the solo strings ensemble can easily sound weird or dull. The small strings ensemble can tell stories easily without any other instruments. That's the purpose, for example, of the quartet as a classical musical form. By the way, here I used an additional flute, but my first goal was to create chamber music. I mean, music with classical small ensemble like the quartet or the quintet. So for making my track, I used FL Studio sequencer and I opened a channel for each instrument articulation as I am learning how to use this software. For a string instrument, the legato and its various articulations is the much difficult playability to reproduce with samples libraries. The violin family instruments sound so organic with the bow playing. I didn't find yet any sample library that can have a real and a multiple legato playability with the violin instruments. So I had to use a lot of short articulations like pizzicatos or staccatos for writing my track. I didn't use any compressor because those little ensembles are acoustic, and for me you don't need to apply any effect, especially if you are aiming to create chamber or classical or orchestral music. Just listen for example to the Synthetic Orchestra's channel on YouTube. He doesn't apply any compressor or EQ. Let's now speak about how to structure your track. As I'm learning how to build musical creations and I don't have a musical education, I used here some musical tips by listening famous composers like Modest Mussorgsky, a Russian composer who inspired a lot of actual composers like Zimmer or John Williams. My track has two parts. The first is dynamic, the second is softer, melodic, and repetitive. The first part goal is to reach the melancholic theme of the second part without sounding weird, and then creating an ending that gives the information that the track is about to end. Giving subtle musical informations in your creation is a way of building, a way for constructions, because it advises the ear that something is about to happen. It prevents from sounding weird in the transitions. For example, I had difficulties for finding an ending. The last part has a very long melody. I failed for finding an ending without sounding weird. In fact, the ending had to be as long as the previous part. It's a very basic structural balance I had to respect here. It's easier to start a track than finishing it. So for getting to the ending, the string slide transition effect is, for example, pretty efficient. Then repeating the main theme or the previous part of your track, but in a soft way, with high flautando strings behind and pizzicatos, for example, is a way for finishing a track. It gives the information that it's about to end. It's very basical, I know, but with this kind of structural rule, it's easier to structure your creativity and so to express it. I learned that tips from a piece called Down on the Moskva River by Modest Mussorgsky. So the structuration of every track is very important, because the listener understands easier what are your ideas. Don't be afraid of repeating the same melody or the same theme, but in another way. For example, with other instruments or under another register. Don't take it as a bad facility. Your transmission sounds better like this, in my opinion. Another musical rule interesting to point out is the harmony. Writing chamber music is a very efficient way for knowing if you respect some harmonic rules or not. In my opinion, if you're able to write chamber music, you are able to write any kind of music, even if you can't read music. But with the small ensembles, when you have just 5-4 isolated instruments, you have to deal with it. You must prevent each instrument from eclipsing the other instruments. You must find a very interesting balance, because when you make a harmonic mistake, you immediately notice it. It's like when you play piano and you make chords. The chamber music is a way to express the beauty of each chord. In fact, I am fond of strings quartets. In my opinion, this kind of small ensemble is musically more personal, intimate. In fact, this intimate atmosphere can't be easily reproduced with big ensembles that are more public in a certain way. Here, for making a comparison, writing chamber music is like writing a diary, and writing orchestral music is like writing public speeches, but that's just my feeling. Writing chamber music is my way for judging the playability of a sample library, because chamber music is about typical instrumental performance. You know, some famous classical musicians, classical cello player like Rostropovich, or classical pianist. They're mostly famous because of their way of performing a musical piece. So the instrumental performance is the thing that the sample library's developers are trying to develop as possible. In my opinion, this aspect of instrumental performance is generally less present with big orchestral ensembles creations. Except if we speak about a musical creation that sounds like a concerto. If we speak with classical terms, being able to write decent chamber music with a sample library is an actual challenge for sample library's developers. In my opinion, it's easier to write symphonic stuff with sample libraries than writing good chamber music, because not every sample library has the same playability. And also, most of the composers, like me, that I listened to are making orchestral music. It's like a common idea. Even if you make film scores, for me, chamber music is a way of surpassing orchestral music. Making music with small ensembles, trying to write sonatas, quartets, quintets, trios, with sample libraries looks for me a much more innovative idea. Because chamber music has a much more intimate aspect that is typical, as I said earlier. That's why I also wanted to create this track. I thank you for listening to me. Thank you.
Little Wonder.
Every now and again, I like to highlight a library which I personally have used for a number of years. Nothing too fancy, and I call it a little wonder. In this case, it's CineSamples Snaps and Claps. Runs in the full version of Kontakt, and it's actually totally free from the CineSamples site. I'll put the address down in the subscription and below. And it's a really simple library. It's just got finger snaps and hand claps mapped across the keyboard in two different groups. And I tend to use the samples for hip-hop and R&B tracks that I'm producing for US TV shows, and I've used the claps for all sorts of things, to be honest, from TV advertising to kind of gypsy-style scores. So let's have a little listen to how they sound. Let's hear the snaps and claps in context, and in this case I'm going to actually play one of my own tracks. It's called Gypsy Dance, King of the Fairies, and it's based on an old Irish folk song called King of the Fairies. Don't judge me too harshly, this track was written 5 years ago, so perhaps I wasn't quite as polished in my production as I am now, but you'll get an idea of how the snaps and claps work, especially towards the end of the track. There's just one main deal that I want to talk about on Bargain VST this week. It's not going to apply to everyone, but for anyone that uses Ableton as their main DAW, or perhaps has a little bit of knowledge of that particular product, then this is going to be useful to you. It runs in Max for Live, which is the Ableton Live extension, and it's available from VST Buzz. It's called Streakulator by Audio Modern and Strange Lines. It's normally €39, but at the moment it's on sale for $11.99, which is I think about 70% off, something like that. And basically what it does is it adds rhythm and drive and interesting patterns, filters, side chaining. A little bit difficult to explain, I don't want to talk about it too much in the show because it won't apply to everyone, but for anyone that uses Ableton on and off like myself, it could be an interesting plugin to look at. Check it out at the VST Buzz website.
Tips and tricks.
This week I've got a really useful tip for you, and it's mostly relevant for people that are using quite widely panned sounds. So for example, if you've got a double track vocal with one vocal on the left and one vocal on the right, or perhaps double track guitars, something like that. Let's have a listen to this particular example. We've got a left and a right guitar, two different loops. That's the right channel. And that's the left channel. Both together. So if you were to add a very simple delay onto that, we'll just use the echo delay in Logic. And we're going to run those two guitar left and right channels into a bus. That's already been done here. And the echo is going to be 100% wet. So that's just echoing the left channel on the left channel and the right channel on the right channel. But you can get a much more interesting effect and sometimes increase the width by swapping over those channels. So the raw signals of left and right are the same, but the echo or the reverb, depending on what you want, is swapped over. The left becomes the right and the right becomes the left. It's a really simple technique. We can achieve that with the gain plugin in Logic, but your DAW will have its own variation. And we just click swap left and right. The gain plugin is placed before the echo. And this is the effect. This is what we had before. And there's the effect. And this works just as well on vocals or anything, as I say, that's panned hard left and right. Let's hear the unswapped channels first.
Right now, not then. I can still remember when.
And now swapped over.
Right now, not then. I can still remember when.
Much more subtle with the vocals, but you get the idea. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Samplecast podcast. It's really appreciated. If you can, head over to iTunes, review and rate us. And you can contact us in all the usual ways, Facebook, Twitter. You can email to thesamplecast@gmail.com. Don't forget those YouTube videos, the full shows on there, where you can see everything that I've been chatting about today in action. You can also find the big reviews filleted out of the full Samplecast shows so that you can quickly get to the information you need. Until next week, bye bye now.